through the prophet Joel, God said that he was going to pour out his spirit. We know he did that, right? In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit of God came, the outpouring came, bringing the fullness of the kingdom of God right into the very hearts of men, right into the very lives of men. That outpouring came, we saw in that day, and we today are still living in the church age of the outpouring of God's Spirit. But we've been talking about what facilitated that outpouring. You know, the early disciples, they were gathered together in the upper room. They were waiting on something to happen. They were expecting something. Jesus had told them something was coming. But what was necessary for God to be able to execute his plan? Jesus had said that once he departed, it was God's intent to send the Holy Spirit into the earth. So God had a plan, but God was waiting on something so that he could execute that plan. You know, the people in that room, I could probably say we would agree that they were hungry. Amen. Come on, they were fasting, they were praying, and they had been doing it for days. Did you hear that? Not just a little few hours, not a few moments, not just a day, but days. They had been fasting and praying. I would say that that would mean they were hungry. I would say that they were humbling themselves before God. They were seeking his face. They were on their faces before him, knowing that he was the giver, the only giver, the only one who was able to give the promise that had been spoken of. And so they were humbling themselves, knowing that they were in need, actually, of what Jesus had said was coming. I would say that it seems as if they were in faith. Why would I say that? Because they were expecting something. Why do I think they were expecting something? Because 500 of them had entered the room and only 120 were left. So probably the 380 that had departed lost their faith. They lost sight of what was to come and the blessing thereof. But the 120, they were enduring with their faith. They were hanging on. They were pressing in. You know, that's the kind of faith we have today. If we're going to see the things of God, it can't be a short-term faith. It can't be on our terms of our timetable. God's not working within our timetable. We have to have faith that endures, faith that endures, faith that's long, faith that's steady, faith that's constant until we get to the end of what it is that we're believing for. So here we see the early disciples in that upper room. They were hungry. They were humbling themselves before God. They had faith. They were waiting on something. So what was it that God was waiting on? Did you know God was waiting on something? Did you know that many times God is waiting on something from us? See, many times we think we're waiting on God, but really God is waiting on us. Yeah. God is waiting on us. He's waiting for our heart to get right. He's waiting for us to get rid of worry, as to get rid of fear. He's waiting for us to come together. God was waiting on something. Acts chapter 2, turn with me there. Verse 1, we see here the scripture. God is so good to tell us these things because God doesn't just throw us down here in the earth and then expect that we just try to have to figure this thing out by ourselves. No, God gives us instruction. He gives us the Bible as a pattern so that we can look at things, so that we can understand things, so that we can know things. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, the day of Pentecost representing the outpouring of God's Spirit, it says they were all with one accord in one place. Do you see that? They were all with one accord. So when the outpouring came, they were all in one accord. They were in unity. Unity was what God waited on. He was waiting on them to be unified, on them to be in one accord, for them to be a oneness, for there to be a harmony amongst them, for there to be agreement among 120 people, for them to be of one mind and of one voice, of one pursuit, all together. God waited on that. Well, we want to experience the outpouring. Isn't that true? We want to experience the fullness of God's kingdom. We want to experience all that God has for us. We certainly want to live, since these are the church days of the outpouring. We want to live in that place of the continual outpouring of God's Spirit. Isn't that true? Isn't that what we're contending for? One of the many things that we're pressing in to God for is to have that and to have it together. Look at your neighbor and say, together. Yeah, together. We're contending for that together. We're contending for it corporately. And so we know that if unity facilitated the initial outpouring of God's Spirit, then unity facilitates the continual outpouring of God's Spirit. Can we agree on that? If that's what God waited on then, if He was waiting on unity then, it would seem right that He's waiting on unity today. He's waiting on us, the church. He's waiting on those He's put together, those He's called together. He's waiting for us to get in harmony, to be in agreement, to be of one mind, of one voice. Because unity is what hosts the Holy Spirit. And that's what the outpouring is. That's what the kingdom coming to the earth is. It's all through the Holy Spirit. It's unity that hosts the Holy Spirit. First, the Spirit of God Himself is the Spirit of unity. So we could say this, that in a place where the Holy Spirit is more prominent, in a place where the Holy Spirit is honored, in a place where the Holy Spirit is embraced, where the Holy Spirit is allowed to move and to have His way, we could say that there's more opportunity, or there's more potential for unity. So the Holy Spirit, in one aspect, He is the helper. He is the one who helps us get into unity. Amen? But we also see that when we, the church, are in unity, there is a greater place for Him to come and to work and to move mightily in our midst. And that's what we're after. There are wondrous, glorious things, even things that cannot be uttered, even things that cannot be told, that come with the outpouring of God's Spirit. There are things that manifest. There are things that come about. There are things that flow when the saints are in the place of unity. And so the early church gave us a pattern for many of these things that we are to expect. Many of the benefits, many of the miracles and the things that happen when the family, when the church family is unified together. So in the Bible, we see many of these things, great kingdom life and benefits that came about as a result of God's people being in unity. And so last week I spoke on a bunch of those. I'm just going to give a real quick recap so that tonight I can wrap up the end part. But all these things came as a result of God's people being together and being unified. And so I'm not going to give all the scriptures tonight. If you want all the detail and all the scriptural references, you'll need to go back and listen to last week's message. But here are the things that we saw that came about as a result of the unity of God's people and that making place for the outpouring of God's Spirit. Number one, we saw that God would do the suddenlies. God is still in the suddenly business. When He can get a group of people who are together in something, who are expecting something, who are wanting something, God can show up suddenly. Yes. Amen? Amen? We saw also this in being Acts chapter 2, that in that place of unity, there's heavenly activity. Glory to God. Come on. In the place of unity, oh, it's the supernatural place. It's the things of where the supernatural flows, where the miraculous things happen. I'm talking about sounds of heaven. I'm talking about miracles. I'm talking about the glory of God, all in our midst as a result of God's people being in unity. We saw number three, that people in that place, it made room for a filling of the Holy Spirit, whether it's a first time initial filling or whether it's a refilling and a fresh filling. It comes as God's people are in the place of unity. Number four, we saw that when God's people get together and the Holy Spirit begins to manifest, that there becomes divine utterance. Ha, divine utterance. Things come up. Things come from God, from the Spirit of God, through Jesus, the Son of God, into our heart. And it begins to come out of our mouth, declarations and proclamations of the things of God, the will of God, the plan of God, the ability of God. And, you know, that is our example of us agreeing with God. God speaks something out of heaven. He speaks it into our hearts, and our agreement is that we speak it out of our mouth into the earth, and that gives God the ability, the power to get involved in that situation. He's waiting for us to agree. Really, if we break it down to the most basic thing about your relationship with God, it's that you're in agreement with God. He's looking for our agreement. He's looking for our unity. He's looking for our oneness. Number five, we saw that when the church got together, when the church was unified, that the kingdom, that God would build the kingdom, that the kingdom would grow, that God would gather crowds, that God would cause people to get saved. Amen. How many of you know that God is still in the kingdom growing business? Actually, that is His primary business, is growing the kingdom. Amen. Amen. And that's done through the work of the Holy Spirit. It's only the Holy Spirit that can speak to a heart, cause a heart to open, and change a heart in that moment. Amen. Hallelujah. We saw number six, when the people of God got together, when they would be together praying, contending for some things of God, that a boldness would come upon them. A boldness. How many of you know we need some boldness today? Amen. Amen. Come on, we need to be able to stand boldly in the face of whatever is in front of us and rightly stand for God and for the kingdom of God and for the righteousness of God. We also saw as a result, this was in Acts chapter 4, that when God's people were together in unity and the Holy Spirit would come, there would be great power in the midst of the people. Hallelujah. Power that would be upon them, power that would be toward them, and great wondrous things would done. Devils would come out. Come on, bodies would be healed. People would be raised from the dead. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Right in the midst of God's people being unified. Are you getting the picture? It's important that God's people get together. And then last we saw last week also that great grace was upon the people as a result of them being in unity. That's not just words. That's a tangible something that came out of heaven, that came from the Spirit of God as a result of them being together, that a great grace, a great ability, a great empowerment was upon them. The favor of the Lord was upon them. Amen. Unity is important. We're going to look tonight at a couple of other things from that place of unity. Turn with me to over to Psalm 133, Psalm 133, verses 1 through 3. Unity is what facilitates the flow of the Holy Spirit. It facilitates the flow of the outpouring. There are many benefits, as we are seeing, from the saints of God being in unity. Here we're going to look at a couple more, God's blessing and the divine life that flows. So let's read this in Psalm 133, starting in verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life evermore. And so first, we need to look at this and understand that to dwell together requires unity. If people are going to really dwell together and be together, we have to be in unity. We have to be in one accord. We have to be in agreement. Amos 3:3 says this, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Have you ever tried to walk or to do something? Have you ever played those games where you're attached to somebody, you know, and you're really hoping that you got somebody that's kind of built like you, somebody that's kind of at your same whatever it is you're going to be doing? Because, you know, it's hard to drag someone along. That's a good picture of what it's like. We have to be agreed as a church if we're going to get some places. How many of you know we're going some places? Come on, how many of you know that we're not at where we're going to eventually be? So we're going together. We're moving in the things of God. We're growing together in the things of God. We're moving to the next place in the things of God. We're aiming for the next level in the things of God. We've got places to go. We've got places to be. And we're going to have to go together. The more we can get together, the faster we can go. So the pastor's not saying, hey, come on, hey, what happened to you? Where are you? Hey, come on. No. If we just all get together, we're in sync. Amen. Listen, it's in sync, and it begins, things can move quickly. Things can move a lot more quickly. You know, have you ever been on the freeway? The Houston freeway? Isn't it wonderful when everyone is in the same flow? And all the lanes... And then you'll run right up to somebody and they'll be going, put, 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 put. And it's distracting to the flow. It minimizes the flow of what's happening. So as a church, God's intent is that we dwell together. And that's why he gives a shepherd. That's why he gives a pastor, so that the pastor can hear from God and the pastor can know where we're going and how we're going and you know, what we're doing to get there. And we can all get on board and we can all agree and we can all go together. You know, God called us sheep. Might not like it. Sheep are not the smartest animal. But he did call us sheep, and sheep flock together. You know, and when a herder is trying to get those sheep somewhere, you know, he's wanting them to all go together. And then there'll be those that are straggling, and, you know, they have the sheep dogs that are trying to nip at their heels. Come on, I'm going to be nipping at your heels to get them in place, because there's something about us being together and going together. How powerful that is, how holy that is, how good and how pleasant that is to God when we're going together. And because of that, because that's God's intent, is for in any assembly and in every assembly the saints to be together, that's why the devil has the exact opposite goal. So his goal is to get any member that he can out of agreement, in, you know, out of harmony, cause them to be thinking, well, I don't like that, or I think we could do it a better way, or they're going to pursue that, but, you know, my heart's over here, I want to do this. That's the goal of the enemy. The goal of the enemy. The Bible said, Jesus said, he told Peter that the devil wanted to sift him like wheat. What he wanted to do was separate him out from the body of Christ. And that's what the devil's goal is today. And so we have to be aware of that and catch that. Because if we allow ourselves to get disruffled, if we allow ourselves to get, you know, our own mindset, if we find ourselves getting out of step and out of sync, it makes room for the enemy to come in. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. You know, the Bible talks about wolves coming in the flock. So we have to be on guard against that. We certainly don't want to be the one. And listen, when I'm talking about the devil causing you to separate, you know, eventually, if you let that happen, he'll eventually separate you outside physically. Okay? But what I want you to know is that it never starts with the physical separation. It starts inwardly. The physical thing is the outward thing. That's the end result of what you see. But the separation starts on the inside.
That's right.
Come on, this is where we're going to have to be. We're going to have to be really wise as a serpent here. We're going to have to really discern when the devil's trying to mess with us and make us get upset or our feelings hurt, or maybe no one cares about me, or maybe they don't recognize my ability, or whatever it is, the little thoughts that are coming in. Those thoughts are intended to separate you. You have to realize they're from the devil. Amen. Amen. It's the truth. And it messes you up. First of all, it does mess you up. And it messes things up. It messes the assembly up. It messes other people up. All of which we'll be accountable for one day when we stand before the Lord. So we want to make sure that we're staying in one accord, that we're agreeing. You know, that means we have to walk in love. Part of unity is walking in love. Part of unity is walking in love. Putting self down and honoring others and preferring others. Unity, I wrote here that unity is the heavenly cement that binds us together. Yeah, it binds us together. And now we notice in this scripture here that this scripture is talking about the brethren being together. And it says this in verse 2. It's like the precious oil upon the head. So here he's correlating unity with the anointing of God. The oil representing the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, the enablement. So the oil in the Old Testament connected with anointing power. God's enablement upon our life, the strength of God in our life, the illumination of God in our life. That's something we need, right? So here the Bible is correlating unity with the anointing. So, you know, how many of us say all the time we want to be anointed, right? We want the anointing. We want to walk in the anointing. We want to operate in the anointing. Come on, we want to pray in the anointing. Come on, we want to worship with the anointing. If you want the anointing, we're going to have to be unified. We're going to have to be in unity. So compares it to the dew of Hermon, and that actually refers to a refreshing and an invigorating power that comes. So as we stay together, might not seem like it, but there's a refreshing that comes from being a part of God's assembly and being unified together. That's what the word said. Hallelujah. And then it says here in that last scripture, it says, for there, from the place of unity, the Lord commanded the blessing.
Glory.
The commanded blessing of God, life forevermore, comes from the place of unity. Unity. It flows from unity. The blessings flow from unity. Life flows from the unity. Life evermore is connected to the unity, the blessing of God upon our life correlates to whether we're in unity or not. Blessing and divine life in every aspect of your life. We all want the life of God. You know, in John chapter 15, it talks about Jesus being the vine and us being the branches. And it's only as the branches are attached to the vine that the branches can live, that the branches can be healthy, that the branches can produce fruit. Come on. So what we see here is that if we're going to be healthy, if we're going to produce what God has for us, we're going to have to be connected. We're going to have to be unified to the vine. Anytime we get outside the vine, we get cut off from the life source of God Himself. And we find ourselves trying to do life, trying to do things in our own strength, in our own abilities, in our own substance, instead of relying on God because we're not connected to Jesus the vine. Well, Jesus the vine is Jesus the head and Jesus the body. You cannot be connected to Jesus the vine if you are not connected to Jesus the body. Do you understand that? You can't just love Jesus the head, have a relationship with Jesus the head, and really be attached to the fullness of the vine if you're not attached. And attached means you're one. When a branch is in with a vine, it's one. That word one correlates to unity. So if you're going to be experiencing the divine life flow of God, you're going to have to be in unity with not just Jesus Himself, the head, but Jesus, the body. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Hallelujah. It's, man, the blessing is there. Unity, it's so important to the Lord because it affects the effectiveness of the church. You know, the church at large is made up of church branches, the local church, okay? And every assembly has assignments, matters to the Lord. I mean, has things to get accomplished. It's as we all do our parts that really the fullness and the wholeness comes together. So every church matters to the Lord. Every church is important to God. And we have to make sure that that's important to us. If unity is important to God, then unity needs to be important to us. We have to take that upon ourselves to realize that we need to be interested in what God is interested in. If God has to say a whole lot about unity in the book of Acts, which is our pattern for the church today, we're reading through the book of Acts, right? Everybody, we started last week, we're reading through the book of Acts. Okay, and you're going to see all those in one accord, you know, in one accord and all the things that were happening. We're going to have to stay connected with that. We're going to have to realize that if God wrote that in the book, and he wrote it several times. I used to say this, when God says something once, that's important. When God says something again and again and again, I think just in the book of Acts, 11 times it refers to the people being in one accord. 11 times, just in the book of Acts, 11 times. The book of Acts, how God patterned the church. Don't you think that's important? Yes. And if it's important to God, then it should be important to us. Amen? Amen? This is where we have to come out of the, you know, the largeness of our own life and say, hey, we're family. And we care about each other. And it's important. It's important to me. What's important to God is important to me. And because you're important to God, because the church is important to God, it's important to me. And that's really a part of spiritual maturity. Is when you can realize that something or someone is more important to you than just yourself. That's where we're headed and where we're after. But it is important to God that the church be unified. Several years ago, Pastor Nancy Dufresne was here and she told a story. I love this story. I had heard her tell it before. And I took notes when she told it. It was a really powerful story about how God feels about some of these things. So she had a lady in her church. She was an elderly lady. And I think that the lady's daughter actually worked on staff at the church there in California. And so the mother, the elderly lady, decided it was time to go home. It was time to depart, time to go to her eternal home. So she called all her family. She said, I'm going home today. I want everybody to come over. And so Pastor Nancy tells the story that all the family went over there. They were not crying. They were not upset. They were praising the Lord. They were rejoicing. Because why? Because they knew where she was going. Amen. This is the eternal reward that we have, is that we get to go home and be with Jesus. Amen. Listen. Don't make me slip off into that message. But so she did. So she departed, went to heaven, met with Jesus, and she got there. And Jesus told her she wasn't going to be able to stay. She was so disappointed. They said that she was asking him, what can I do? What can I do to stay? What can I do? What can I? He said, no, I have to send you back. I have to send you back because I have an assignment for your church. For her church. Not the church at large. Not some worldwide ministry. Because see, we start thinking sometimes that's only what's important to God. That's only what's making a difference. No, the Lord told her that she couldn't stay in heaven because she had to come back because he had an assignment for her in the earth in regards to her church. Wow. Now, Pastor Nancy tells the story that she was one of their church prayers. Prayers. People that pray. A prayer. I don't call them intercessors because intercession is a type of prayer. It's a lot more limiting to me. They're prayers. They can pray whatever's necessary in the moment. Amen. And so she had been all faithful, Pastor Nancy said, in her praying. Always at the prayer meetings. Always contending for the things of the church. So the Lord sent her back. And here's what he told her assignment was for her church. Number one, he said to pray for your church and that they get it. That they get it. And so she asked, get what? And he's, and listen, Jesus said, get what the pastor is preaching. Pray that the people get what the pastor's preaching, not what the TV preacher's preaching, not what the worldwide ministry's preaching, but the place where they're assigned. Pray that the people will get it, that they get a revelation of it, that it's not in one ear and out the other ear, that they get a heartfelt revelation so that they can live off of it. Now, this is not part of the story. This is my interpretation. Why? Because God has assigned someone to you on assignment from God to bring before you weekly what is necessary for your life. The message from heaven comes from the one that's assigned to you. Jesus thought it was so important that they would get what the pastor was preaching that he made her come back from heaven. He told number two, pray for the divine revelation that's due in this era. Did you know that there are things in our time and seasons, divine revelations that are necessary for the body of Christ to progress and things to happen? You remember in the 1950s, they had the healing revival. There was a revelation that came of divine healing. Come on, in the 1980s, Brother Hagin brought the revelation of faith, and it greatly assisted the body of Christ in moving forward. There are divine revelations for her church. Divine revelation. I mean, one revelation from God can change your life forever. So he told her to pray, number one, that the people would get it. Number two, that she was to pray for the revelation that belongs in that season. And number three, pray that the church be in unity. Of everything that Jesus could say, pray for great miracles. No, Jesus knew that the miracles were attached to the unity.
Amen.
The miraculous is attached to unity. The supernatural is attached to unity. I love that story. Jesus sent her back out of heaven so that she could pray. Number one, to be thought worthy of one who could pray enough that Jesus wouldn't let you come into heaven because he needs your prayers in the earth. Do you know how many meetings she was probably in where, you know, it wasn't like recorded, it wasn't like a big deal, it probably was a small group of people. Do you know how many times she prayed before the Lord at home when nobody saw her and nobody heard her? See, sometimes we've got this all out of order. All this being recognized and being seen and being acknowledged. Praying is spiritual. The Lord sent her back. It was so important to him that for that one, just one church. Come on, it was just one church. Every church matters. We have things assigned here at Houston Faith Church that are assigned to us, that are ours, that aren't anybody else's. We're going to have to get them. We're going to have to get in them. We're going to have to get through them. We're going to have to accomplish them. And it's going to take the work of the Holy Spirit. It's going to take the outpouring of God's Spirit in our midst, which comes through unity. Hallelujah. It's a must. Things flow out of unity. Benefits come out of unity. Listen, these are, in my opinion, unity is the marching orders of the church. You know, if you're in an army and you've got things to do, they're taught to get in line and to move together. I mean, there's a marching order. There's a whatever they say and whatever. I know some of the army, you know, the Marines and the guys could stand up. But that's important. I believe that unity is the marching orders of the church. And it is a tall order. It's a tall order. I bet many times when those soldiers get in that line, they're really, that's not the place they want to do. That's not the thing they want to do. They're thinking this just seems so simple. Just seems so ridiculous. Why can't we all just go ahead and go and all meet up there? Seriously. And that's, I think, sometimes how we think. I'm just going to go ahead and go. No, God wants us to go together. He wants us to go together. It's how the Lord made the church. He made the church. You can do things I can't do. I can do things you can't do. You can do things she can't do. And she can do things that you can't do. But together, there's a whole bunch of things that we can do. Together, we can get it all done. Together, we can get it all accomplished. We need each other. That's how God made it. United we stand, divided we fall. So I say it's time that we stand together. Amen. Time we stand up, stand together, stand strong. We're better together. We're stronger together. We're gooder together. Together we're the church. It takes each and every one of us coming together. Unity is so spiritual. You know, Pastor Chaz and I have learned the more we have pastored, just the more we just recognize that how any disruption in the unified place really affects the church. It affects the church. It affects it greatly. God doesn't like it. He wants the people to be unified. And I seem to think that when we see unity working in a church, there are certain things that are worked kind of in the people. There are some attributes of the people. There are some qualities of the people that you see when there's unity. And one would be that there's strength. Come on, there's greater strength amongst us together than you by yourself. Amen. Come on, absolutely. Absolutely, there's strength in numbers. It's definitely so. How about encouragement? When we're together, there's more of an encouragement in the assembly. Amen. Because not everybody's going to get discouraged on the same day. So we're kind of, you know, edging each other along and encouraging each other along and watching what others have done and seeing how God is coming through for them. I tell you, another attribute is typically when the church is unified, there's more obedience in the church. People are more obedient to God because we're iron sharpening iron. Come on. There's a little responsibility. Come on. We're family together. Listen, I used to tell the Lord, and I still do. I tell Him all the time, Lord, Lord, please don't ever let me be the hindrance of something of God. Because I affect you. And you affect me. Our disobedience, whether it be to something that the pastor's trying to get us to do, whether it be something to God, it affects the assembly. And so when we're together, there's something about us keeping in check. Yeah, something about us just kind of balancing each other and making sure that we're inspiring each other to be better and challenging each other to be more holy. To live right, to stay on the course, to not grow weary, to not faint, to not give up, to not get swayed. Perseverance. I believe you see when the church is in unity, there's more perseverance. There's also this underlying something about we're going to endure and we're going to get this done no matter what. We're going to stand together. We're going to finish it fully. When you see people together in unity, you see amongst the people a spirit of giving and a spirit of generosity. You see that here a lot. The people are generous. Listen, if you don't know, the people here are generous. They're generous in helping get God's plan done. They're generous in one another. I love hearing stories how so-and-so went to help so-and-so and so-and-so did this for them and so-and-so took so-and-so to the doctor. And it just blesses my socks off. Because it's just about us giving of ourselves, of our life, of our substance to help one another. That comes from a spirit of unity. When people are unified, you see more of the spirit of faith present. More people believing together, encouraging, standing. You see more power in the assembly. The more we're unified, the more we'll see the supernatural. The stronger people are, the stronger that people come in and aren't doubting. We have healing service today. I wonder if anything's going to happen. I wonder if God's going to heal anybody. The less of those people we have, and the more people that we have come in saying, today is healing service. The healing anointing is here. Jesus, the healer, is in the house. Everybody in the assembly is going to be touched by the power of God. The more we believe that, the more we create place for the Holy Spirit to come in and work in that capacity. And I'm just going to say it. I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it until I go home to be with Jesus, by the way, which I will be very happy about. When I go, I will be very happy to go. And so don't anybody shed a tear. Seriously. I will be happy to get my reward. But I'm going to say it until I meet Jesus. We will not move off the healing power of God. I don't care what experience does or doesn't have of somebody. We are not moving off the reality that Jesus is the healer, that Jesus can and will anybody, anytime. And I'm not ashamed to say it. So we will have miracles here. We will have notable miracles here. We will be known as a miracle house in Houston. We will be known as a healing house in Houston. As a matter of fact, one time the Lord told me, and I know the Lord told me this, and I'm still believing it. He said that just like Houston is known for its oil in the oil industry, Houston Faith Church will be known in the healing arena. That's what he told me. That's what he told me. And we're contending for that. I thoroughly believe that always anybody can be healed. And I'm expecting it. I'm expecting it. Hallelujah. These are just some of the things that we see amongst God's people. How do we do it? How do we do it? We just have to get on board. We have to be listening to what the pastor's saying. We have to be listening to what's going on. First of all, we have to be present. Let me just say, we do have to be present. Okay? You can't be missing and out and gone all the time and staying in the flow. You're going to have to be present, but you're going to have to be listening to what the pastor's saying. You know, when the pastor's preaching something, you ought to be going home and you ought to be thinking about that during the week and meditating about that during the week. You ought to be in the prayer meetings and know what's going on. Yeah. Amen. 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 So if we're gonna live in the outpouring like we want, we're going to have to do our part. We're going to have faith. Yes. Come on, we're going to have some hunger. Yes. We're going to have some humility. But we're going to have to be unified too. I believe that there's a lot that hinges. I believe a lot of those things actually hinge on unity. You see this, you see that vision and purpose produce unity. So we have to have vision. We have to have something that's in front of us. We have to know where we're going. We have to know our purpose. That's how we have one mind. It's how we can make a step towards something. Then we have this, that prayer and fasting brings unity. Amen. Prayer and fasting brings unity. It's my greatest desire that I can get all of you in prayer meetings. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep saying. So we have vision and purpose produces unity. Prayer and fasting brings unity. Faith connects with unity. Okay? And then lastly, love and compassion work unity. God wants us to be unified. Why is that? Not just that that's just a message that we can preach right now. No, I believe that there's things on the other side of our greater unity. You know, we look around and we say, well, you know, are we not unified? I wouldn't say that we're not unified. But I believe that there's a greater unity. Amen. You know, we contend with some things today. We have to be honest about them. We contend with some things today that the early church didn't contend with. They didn't have 1,400 different churches that they could run off to and just hop from place to place, figuring out what they liked or when they didn't like something, or I like the music better here, or, you know, they're doing this here or that. They didn't have that. And really, the truth is you don't have that either. We really don't have a choice of where we want to be in church.
Amen.
It's really true. God assigns people. He doesn't always assign us in the place that we think or the place that we... I remember my first church that I got assigned to. I was looking for a particular something, and I went to this church, and the first day that I walked there and I walked in the door, and between going to the door and the restroom, I knew that this was where God wanted me. And I stayed there until we started this church at the instruction of God. But when I walked in, there were several things that weren't what I thought I was looking for. But I knew it was God assigned me. Amen. And, you know, it wasn't just, but very quickly, that those things that were kind of different when I went in were the things that I loved. Yeah. God will work that out. But it's Him that gets to make the choice. Because He knows. When you're in an assembly, you're there for a reason. You have something to bring. Yes, you're going to get things. Yes, you should be fed and you should be built up in your spiritual life. But you have a supply. Every believer has a supply. And it's all of us coming together and bringing our supply in a unified measure that make place for God to be able to do what He wants to do. So it's unity that facilitates really all of the things of God, the divine flow of God, the life of God, the blessings of God, the miracles of God, all of the good God stuff. They flow out of the place of unity. Hallelujah. It's powerful. It's so spiritual. We can't see it because it has to do with the hearts of people. Although sometimes if you listen to people, you'll find that you can hear what they really think. Or you watch people, their actions can tell you what's inside their hearts. But the Lord knows. For every time that people are giving lip service, but their heart is not fully connected, the Lord knows and the spirit world knows. The spirit world knows. The spirit world knows when you say something, whether you really mean it with your heart or not. God knows. The Holy Ghost knows. The devil knows. The demons know. And the minute that they sniff out a little place, then they're right there. Just to see what they can work in that area. But unity is the thing that's going to make room for the miraculous, for the supernatural. Unity is the thing that's able to reach as a church. It's the thing that can reach into our church and bring about all of the things that God has intended for us. Unity is the thing that can reach into your lives, into your job. Come on, into your relationships and bring about the divine flow, the miraculous, the supernatural, the thing that's necessary for those things to change, for those things to get better. Unity is what makes place for that. Hallelujah. So we're going to have to have a cry of our heart unified. I mean, that's got to be the cry of our heart in this season. Because there's some things on the other side of it. There's some things more that God wants us to get into. So greater unity. If we're unified, there's greater unity. Purposing our heart toward knowing. What are we believing for? What are we saying? What are we doing? What are we going after? Those things can change from season to season in some sense. Some things remain the same, but some things change. But we're going to have to do it together. I said it last time, you know, Pastor doesn't want to go without you. We don't want to go without you. God doesn't want us to go without you. And really, you almost can't go without we go together. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.